Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but a leg run's grinding home from Fear Endless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron, threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite on the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon. Wicks down the middle. Kingswell Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are previewing Group 2 Missile Stakes Day at a very wet and weary Randwick, and also the return of racing at the Valley. We haven't raced there since April. It's a soft six currently. Hopefully that improves a little bit. Rails in the true. Should be no excuses for the track to race well after a mini renovation. If you're new here for the first time, we've got Nick McGualter on the panel. We've got Will the Bot Alford, and myself, Ben Caluzzi. Fellas, how are we doing?
Good. Good. I heard you're on radio today. This is like, Ben's on TV and radio at the moment. He's killing it.
It's Ben's world.
We're all living in it.
It's not really a work, is it?
No, it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's
working in racing.
It's quite a privileged position, but that doesn't last forever, so I'm going to enjoy it while it does.
Okay.
Any other news?
Okay, you pessimistic fuck.
Or yeah, they're going to sack you or something.
Nah, Bod will get sacked first. Budget's not big enough for him.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Racing.com.
No, nothing much has been happening. Negotiations are going to be underway shortly. The play at bar is going to happen.
Oh, the play at bar.
Oh, the play at bar. Jeez.
Man, my man Kanga are going to make this happen.
If that happens, that's a disgrace.
For
that's
one
a disgrace
day.
To Caulfield.
For one day in spring. The best track with the best bar with the best person.
Oh, fuck me.
I've heard enough.
That's
I've
a disgrace.
Enough. Someone take the microphone off this man.
I won't be there. Can we kick him out of them?
Don't you come.
I won't be there. Not for that. That's a disgrace.
Yeah, oh, good.
It's, world
a good bloke, it's a good bloke policy anyway, so you don't get invite, champ.
Anyway, last Thursday night, we actually strung the podcast along in good time and in good fashion. Well, so let's try and keep that going.
Another junk week this week, so let's do that.
All right. Botta, any thoughts at all on the track? You've probably got less idea than me.
Yeah, no, Aaron Gooden was nice enough to give me a bit of a guide. He's walked the track. He's sort of thinking that the inside will chop out throughout the day. And that you don't want to be making long runs, especially over the middle distance races, so over a mile and further. You don't want to be making a sustained long sweeping run around, especially where the school is, because the track there is a little bit damper than you know, because it doesn't dry as well. Obviously, we've talked about this before.
Yep.
So the best spot to be is sort of leading 1-1. But in sort of, you know, that sort of place, OSL. So yep. You want to be up on speed on Saturday, I'm projecting.
Yep, typical Valley. So the reason why that part of the track doesn't dry as well is because you've obviously got the Legends Bar and you've got that big line of trees around the school side. So there's a lot of shade in that area and it doesn't see anywhere near as much natural sunlight. Let's go straight to race one, 2040. There won't be any Cox Plate horses here, though. It's a benchmark 70. Victor Hovland, Nico, for the golfing fans, is the favourite. $3.60 top price from Foire de Tron, $5.50. Katani Gardens for the Navy in white, $7, and Rise to It, $9. Also, backers, Navy King.
His backers would want to hope that this horse has got a bit more
intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, than what the golfer does, because he's.
What is it? He's Norwegian, is that right?
Yeah. He's a good golfer, but he's not exactly known for sticking his neck out and just getting it done.
Yeah. I tune into the golf sometimes, but
I don't even know how golf works, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we don't know how cycling works.
That does not surprise me.
You know what my introduction to cycling has been? Drug cheats and people holding on to the cars going past and cheating also. Anyway, tell us who you're backing.
Yeah, the golfer I'm backing. I think it's a progressive enough sort of horse. I think the top two, Foire de Tron and Hovland, are horses going place as well. The rest of them are not. They'll be in this grade forever, if not worse. He was sort of forced into a battle of speed last start, and that's not his go. He's a horse that wants to stay and up to 2,000 meters. That looks his go. I think Blake Shin will lob him up on speed, and I think he'll get a really economical run and force the pace a bit, and that's what he wants. The main danger will be sort of midfield and have to make that wide sustained run, which is not what you want to be doing on the day. So I'm pretty confident one of the two wins, and I'm backing Hovland. I think it'll be pretty well supported on the day. It's a nice bet for me. I think it's like a $2.60 chance. So it's a good bet.
Great. Let's move on to race two then. Benchmark 78 over 2,500 metres. Fisherman's Beach, the $5 favourite. Can't be any of the beaches in Melbourne because they're all terrible. Geneva Moose, $5.50. Bluestone, $7. Make It Sweet, $8. Good Last Start Win. Chihuly, $10. And Galileus, the big slug, $12.
I think they'll lob Fisherman's Beach on speed after an interesting tactical ride last start. It was sort of, it couldn't sprint with them, but it kept coming and it finished. I think the last thousand was, one second, the last thousand, he rattled it. He came home 12.2 lengths faster than the class and 10 lengths quicker than, sorry, that's from the 800 meters to the finish. He finished about, it was such a weird race. The leaders got away with it. That there was so much. The leaders got away with murder, essentially. I'm the Empire, Kirk Cuban, and Elsie May, and they sort of slackened it through the 1200 to the 600, and they just sprinted away with it. Fisherman's Beach was a long, long way back, but he's shown the ability to hold a spot, and I think that's what they'll do fourth up. I think it's the best horse. The race is actually going somewhere potentially. And it wants this test. You know, around Moonee Valley, you often get high pressure races. Just the nature of the track that they, you know, you want to be on pace here. The jockeys know that, so it forces a bit more pace than what you would at Sandown, Flemington, etc. So Malum goes on for Tom Preble. That's a big jockey change. Jamie Malum is airborne at the moment. Since coming back, she rode a treble the other day. I think that this is a good bet. $5.
Yep, Jamie, she's coming good at the right time. No official bets in race three, but Enna's Dreambot had a confidence boosting win last time at Geelong. Any thoughts on the race at all?
No, it's a tricky race. I thought that Silver Cliff could improve. It goes not a sit and sprint like it was last time, and it gets a pretty soft map, you'd have thought. If Enna's Dream is in the first half of the field, you know, three back, one off, and that's probably game over. But I don't trust it to be in that spot.
Great. Race four, probably one of the day's features. Benchmark 100 over 1,000 metres. Only going to be a small field, and Beast Mode could be going to Adelaide. That's the word. Oakhill, $3.30. Top price from Mornington Glory, $3.60. Midwest, $5.50. Boston Rock, $7. and Beast Mode, as I mentioned, $7.50, but might be coming out. Nico, there's a Groupon winner, Track and Trip, in this race, and I think we're both keen to be on.
Yeah, I think he's a fucking moral, to be honest.
I think pardon your French.
I think he's clearly the best horse in this race. I'm not worried that we're claiming. It's a bit of a point and shoot, just hold on sort of ride, providing that the track is going to be that sort of better side of a five, which is what sort of my information is. Yeah, I think he'll be extremely hard to beat. These horses wouldn't even get a start in races that he's raced in and will race in for the rest of his preparation. Even if he's 50% here, I think he wins this race. Yeah, he can't be too far off the mark, I wouldn't have thought. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he picks him up, puts him down. And yeah, I think you're getting a more than fair price to back him. You could get really aggressive and say that he's closer to an odds-on chance, really, in a field of this depth. Yeah, I think he's a put-in-take-out job.
Huge. I'm coming with pick up, put down, spit out, whatever you want. This horse bolted in with this exact same race last year. I know he probably had a bit more fitness on his side. He's only had the one jump out, but it was a very good one. He only carries half a kilo more than last year after the claim. He is unbeaten 4 out of 4 at the Valley 1,000 metres. We've got another horse who's unbeaten at the Valley 1,000 as well, and that's Midwest. I think he's 3 out of 3, but Mornings in Glory, I think the map will work out perfectly for him. I think Luke Cartwright goes forward, either sits outside lead or might find the 1-1. And this favourite Oak Hill, it's a nice horse, but barrier one for it, I don't think is ideal. I think the best Blake Shin can hope for is 3 back the rails. And that's just not where you want to be at Moonee Valley. So I'm pretty keen on Mornington Glory. Midwest, if I get better than $6, I might chop out something. Just looking at the ratings, Midwest, they don't really stack up in this race with 58.5, but I'm going to slightly ignore that to some degree. And I think Moonee Valley really suits him as well. I'm really keen to be finding Moonee Valley horses this weekend. And those are two of them. So Mornington Glory, really keen. And I might chop out something small on Midwest. Any thoughts, Bot?
Nah, I don't like these 1,000-meter races. I find they're so heavily, 1,000-meter horses are 1,000. It's just confusing. I don't like them.
Yep, fair enough.
I don't like betting 1,000-meter races.
Nico and I love it.
Yeah.
Especially around Moonee Valley.
They're usually the easiest races to bet into.
No, I don't like them.
Right. Fair enough.
You stick to your BM 64 2860. Bit of six a field.
Race 5 is a benchmark 74,000 metres. So same trip, but back in grade. Benchmark 74 is actually a new grade of race that Racing Victoria started doing just because I think they had 70s and 78s, but they were finding a lot of horses were sort of stuck in between. So they've spat out a couple 74s, and Stolly Bolly is the $4 favourite. Has won around Moonee Valley before. Deep Float Diva, $5. I think Miles accidentally said Deep Throat Diva once on radio. Harry Got Styles is $7.50 and Behaviour $8. Nico.
I'm backing a Moonee Valley horse that just loves this joint, really. Number 13, Moon and Back. I think he's big odds.
You back this horse every single time it goes around.
Yeah, because it's always big odds and it always runs consistently thereabouts. There's a few horses in this race that aren't 1,000-meter horses. And I think she is. Change of stable, not sure why. She's gone from Andrew Noblet to Tom Sadler, but yeah, gets the booking in Frosty first time, which is definitely not a negative. She's just got to be called in behind him, and if she gets her chance like she usually does, then she'll run a really honest race, and you don't have to have much on it at the price that she is. By no means is she a good thing or anything, but I think she'll definitely outrun her odds and she should be shorter in the market. So, she'll give us something to cheer about it at good odds.
So John and Tom...
father-son.
They used to train together. Now they've separated. Is that right?
Yeah, they've been separated for a long time, a couple of years.
All right. We're getting Bott back involved here because race six is a 1,000 meter 3-year-old open handicap. Of course, this is their first start as newly wedded 3-year-olds. All their 2-year-old form sort of intertwines to some degree. But Esha could be the new fresh blood on the scene and is the $2.15 favorite from Bakash. $5. Can it get across and lead from that gate? Not sure. Oyster Lane's $5.50. Samadra, $7.50. And Hello Romeo, $12. But there's a fair amount of speed in this race.
Yeah, I think Esha is the bet here. $2.15 is a good price, I think, for this horse. I think it might be something special. It ran faster time than Sir Now did on the same card. And like it wasn't as if Sir Now wasn't slowly run that, and that horse has since gone on to run third in a listed race. Like that's he's a good horse. She ran faster time than him on debut, belted the clock, belted a horse. The horse came second, got within the law form. That ties into the top stuff in Sydney. It's the ratings there. She's tiny. She rails like a greyhound. I love that she won around the Morpheville Parks too. Like she just railed like a greyhound. She'll find a lead here. She will lead, and she'll kick around the turn. Damien Lane rides. I think she's more like $1.80, $1.70 chance. She's a good bet at $2.15. Is the best price.
The nerves are going to be going crazy over this horse.
These are basic horses.
Just line it up. They're lighting up, Nico.
You can have this race. I'm not really interested. Esha might come out and smack them, but I think there's a few horses in this race that have also got abundance of ability. And, juvenile ratings for such lightly raced horses is fraught with danger, in my opinion. So, you don't know who's open to the most development and improvement. You don't know who's here to play, who's going to build into their preparation. Just not a race I want to be having a bet in. You'll learn more from it than making money, in my opinion.
She's probably on top for me, Esha, but I'm scared.
She probably is on top, but I think that Samadra and Oyster Lane could very, very, very easily win. And I wouldn't be shocked.
I was keen on Bakash last time. That was at Flemington. Now he draws wide at the value. Probably not. Esha, I've got on top, but I would love better than $2.15. Bott's telling me I'm not going to get it.
I think Samadra will lead.
No.
Bott doesn't think so, but I think she will. And if she leads from barrier one and the fence is on fire, well, she's going to be awfully hard to beat.
Esha will lead.
All right, let's move on to race seven before these two start throwing virtual fists from Pakenham to wherever Bott lives. Don't know. It's irrelevant. Race seven, benchmark 100 over 2040. Ranbit, Travis, Harrison, Cup. Sayadati Sadati, or Saturday Saturday, as we like to call him, is the $3 favorite from Charterhouse. $5.50. Was ridden positive last time. Nelly Lalax is also $5.50. Relentless Voyager, $9. And Berkeley Square, well, you'd think he's going to be getting a fair way back here, is also $9. I'll quickly go first. I'm backing Sayadati Sadati. This is a horse I actually potted a couple starts back. I said he's a little bit one pace for Australian racing, but he's got full fitness under his belt. He has been quite impressive the last couple starts, and I think he takes up the running here with Logan Bates on board. We're saying that's going to be a great spot to be. I think Mooney Valley will suit him. I think getting in with 57 kilos after the claim is good, soft, dry, doesn't really matter. And his ratings are just on a slow but sure upward trajectory since he's landed here. So I'm happy to back him this time around. Will, are you betting?
Not yet. I haven't bet yet. I sort of priced the race up and then I sort of learnt about how the track might play and then I sort of fix it up a bit. Changed it around, and I've got Sayadati Sadati about the I pretty much got it exactly how the market has. My intuition says I want to back Sayadati Sadati really, really badly. So I hope it gets adrift. The models might not like it because it gets a negative jockey change, and it might not lead here and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's going to be so suited to the Valley, the higher pressure nature of it. Like, as you said, Ben, he's a one-paced horse. But, yeah, I think they probably have to trim up Nelly Lelex a little bit because it sort of punched up and did a bit of work into the wind last start with a good SP behind Sayadati Sayadati. Obviously, Sayadati Sayadati is sort of favourite in that. But, yeah, I think if I get 350 for Sayadati Sayadati, I'll be on it. Yeah, I think that's the way I want to play the race. But if they go forward on Relentless Voyager, it's so interesting, but I don't think they will.
Can't win.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be last. And it's sort of half interesting with Mark Zara on, but it'll be last and making that swooping run. Yeah, it needs further, and it's going to be making that swooping run that you don't want to make. So I think Sayadati Sayadati is the one, hopefully.
Might be a metrop horse, Relentless Voyager.
Yeah, I was thinking that. It's a, you know, like those Ebor horses.
It'll be a St. Ledger horse.
They're too slow for the Melbourne Cups and Caulfield Cups, but the Metroc and the St. Ledger, those sorts of races, that's up at its alley.
St. Ledger and a maiden hurdle next year.
Absolutely.
Nico's already retired it on the flood. Nico, you betting in this race?
I am. This is not a horse that I ever thought I'd really stick up for, but I think Berkeley Square is going to run a very, very good race here, providing that he can run on. His form at 2,000 metres to 2,400 metres is pretty impeccable, really. Mm. Ran second in a Koonji, ran second in a Bendigo Cup, ran third in a Zipping Classic, won the Ballarat Cup. Like, that's very good level staying form for a race like this. He's been building into his preparation. He's now third up, gets back to the Valley, which is a track that he's had good success at in the past. I know he's got the weight, but he's earned it because he's the best performed race horse in this race. And, yeah, providing that they can make ground, even if, like, I'm not going to be sort of too deterred if they can't, because staying races are different to usual races. It's going to be tempo related, et cetera, et cetera. So, I think at sort of $10 and $3, I think, you know, that's what he was earlier the last time I checked. Yeah, I think that's sort of a really nice bet.
Yeah.
Saturday might just win, but I haven't been on that train and I'm not getting aboard now. And then, yeah, I can really pick holes in front of Nelly Lilax and Charterhouse and Relentless Voyager, Test the Law, those sorts. I think Berkeley Square should be clear second favourite.
Yeah, you can't knock his form. It's just a map and, you know, you might have to take off and make that long sustained run. He might be good enough, but he might not be as well in Sayadati Sayadati. I'm hoping he's off and gone. Race 8 is a mile race. It's a benchmark 74. The top price for Far Flung is $5.50. Ruakaka Raider is $6.50. So is Farnborough. Bird Dubai, $7. Nana's Wish, $7. Shoeless, $8.50. And the market's saying they are the only chances, Will.
Yeah, Reset the Jazz beat the favourite last start and four times the price. It doesn't make any sense. So Reset the Jazz is a bet.
Can you back Far Flung last time?
Yeah, oh, mate. Yes. I was held up half the straight.
Dundescray.
Yeah, but did you get $10 or $26?
Would you take $10, mate?
$29 I took. Thank you very much.
Whatever.
Bit of odds drifter.
No, I bet right at the jump.
You bet
just
right
kept
at
the death. Just kept getting out.
Yeah, nice.
Should have had more on. Don't call me a moron.
Far Flung should have won. But
fuck off. How should it have won?
Because it was held up half the straight.
Oh, give me a spell.
And I'll back Nana's Wish. I think lots of these, if you go through the key chances in the race, they're all going to get back and they've got awkward maps. So Burgee Bye gets a really soft run, I think. Not Burgee Bye, Nana's Wish. Nana's Wish in the same colours. Nana's Wish is in really nice form, especially over the mile. They went too quick last time. Really good win at Warwick Farm, and I think it's in as good a form as it's ever been in its career, and it's going to get a great run here. So $7 is a great price.
How's this? Two My Racehorse horses, both same prices. Oh, the mounting yard's going to be packed. It's going to be thousands of owners in there. Poor Glennis in the race day Mooney office.
He wouldn't want to work for poor. It's like Cox Plate Week.
They're all going to be demanding free food, free seats, even though they only pay $10 a month anyway. Anyway, it's a story for another day.
Unbelievable.
Race 9, 1,200 meter benchmark, 84. Great Maximus, $5 equal favorite with Naval Academy. Lunar Cat, $6.50. LOU gets back to his happy place, as you might have seen in my tweet, $7.50. Layer upon layer, $11. Namesake, $12. The Shaper, $13. And I'm reading these all out because I want to give mention to Apache Song there at $15 as well. Also loves the Valley 1,200 meters. But
Naval Academy is a good favorite. Comes out of the good race. Last start, the Papa Lord won. I think it's had a lot of issues, but it showed lots of promise, and I think it's about to consolidate on the promise that it showed as a younger horse. Gets a really nice, soft position in run, you'd have thought, relative to the pace. There's a lot of pace, like it's relentless, the pace here. They're going to go super quick, and it's going to get a nice, cushy run. And I think it's going to be well suited. It might need one more. One might need one more run, but I think it could be good enough, and it could be a lot better than these. Oh, not a lot better than these. I think there's still upside with this horse, and I think it might run to a number that maybe the others can't. I think the favorite, the equal favorite, Great Maximus, is a 1400 meter horse, and I don't think it'll be suited by how freaking quickly this will be run.
Yep. I'm back in 1 and 2. I'll start with 2, LOU, backing each way. Just forget what this horse has done in its last two starts and just look back to its 1,200 meter Mooney Valley form, the two prior starts, both rated really well. A bit of give in the track is perfect. Barrier 5 is perfect. Probably finds a 1-1 or might even lead with Damien Lane going on board. 60.5, sure, but has run in better races than this and does deserve that weight. So I just think he'll bounce back in a big way on Saturday. If he doesn't, then it's spell time. He's cast, put him out. But he's going to get every chance to do what he has been doing before these previous two starts. And I'm happy to forgive him and be on. I'm also going to back Apache Song, who 1,200 meters at the Valley, going back to last preparation, ran third in an Australian Stakes behind Schwartz and Stepardi. Schwartz then went on and won the William Reid on a biased track. But nonetheless, I just think it's another one who will bounce right back here at the Valley. Gets the claim for Luke Cartwright, so 57.5 kilos. And yeah, I just think $15 is over. So I'm backing two horses who absolutely love Mooney Valley. And I might have a saver on Bot's thing as well. Okay, around the grounds. Will, anything Friday?
Well, I backed Navy Nina at 225, but it's $1.60 now, so no. I mean, you can take it if you want. If you're like, if you're sick and you want to put in a multi, then do that. But don't. You can back it if you want.
Yeah, Nico.
We'll have some jump stuff on Sunday, but I need to do some more form and need to see some prices because I feel like this could be funky. Some of these prices are, but yeah, obviously it's a bit of a lull this week. I'll be a bit more confident next week, season finale, which is going to be sad because it's been a good season. We should have never touched on Highland Blaze. That was incredible last weekend.
What a win.
What a horse. Probably my favourite jump horse at the moment. Probably a bit of pocket talk in that. But yeah, he's just a really good horse. As tough as nails, not weak. Just dashing from the front. Added another string to his bow last time.
Yeah, he led. Crazy.
Just led. It's going to be an even better steeplechaser. He's going to stay longer than your mother-in-law. He's just a grand annual type horse. Just exciting, exciting stuff.
Yep. I can't believe Jacko had Loft on top of...
Pretty boy Loft, huh?
Anyway.
Maybe I was right. Maybe he's the second star at his stable.
Yep. Let's look at some races in Sydney. There's two races in particular that I...
Who knows how much rain they're going to get there.
Have a look at. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's a heavy night at the moment, and forecast is I think it's like 1 to 15 mil. So they could get none. They could get a lot. But two races I just want to mention. Race 7 is a benchmark 70 out of 1,200. This looks a really good race. The Blade is the $3.20 favorite from Kerguelen, $3.50. Point and Shoot, $5. Ironman, $9. The Blade has returned gelded. His recent trial was sensational. He comes up against a horse like Kerguelen, who's just a rock, ran second to King of Rousseau last time. King of Rousseau then came down here, won the Ori Star. His heavy track form is elite. 5 starts, 3 wins, 2 placings, gets Nashua Willa. Inside draw might not be the place to be late in the day, but nonetheless, that heavy track form is going to count for plenty. He's got to give the Blade 6.5 kilos. Did you have any thoughts here, Nico?
Well, I'm very interested to see if the Blade can end up delivering on some of this hype, or is he going to be another Rupert Lee Hawks-trained hype train?
I think your starting point has to be Kerguelen, doesn't it? Second to King of Rousseau, and just has the heavy track stats, and he's not favourite.
Yeah, he's got to be favourite, I think, Kerguelen. I think Point and Shoot's probably the best horse in the race, but 61 first up, heavy
1200,
track.
1200, not probably, further.
Doubt it probably runs, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be wasting him. I'd have Kerguelen to beat the Blade, but... yeah, probably not a race that I'd want to bet into, to be honest.
I might back Kerguelen. Race 8 is the Group 2 Missile Stakes. We see potentially the return of Private Eye. He's the $2.60 favourite. Open 3:30 on the green machine. I definitely should have had some of that. He's down to trial tomorrow. We'll find out tomorrow whether he's going to be running or not. It's going to be interesting. I don't think Joe Pride really wants to run him on a bottomless track first up, given he's got spring aspirations still in mind, bigger fish to fry, etc.
Just funny, but because he said that they're going to come to the PB Lawrence next week if they don't run.
Yeah, well, he's probably still got a fair bit of residual. He ran in the Stratton.
Bit of an ass to run first up 14, surely.
Is the PB Lawrence next week?
Yeah, well, it goes Missile and the PB Lawrence here next week. Then it goes the Winks the following week, and then it goes the Memsie.
Who's racing in the PB? Is it Evaporate?
Pinstriped, Evaporate.
Pinstriped.
A few others. There's a bit of rain back in the next week. So if that's the case, Pinstriped are probably extremely hard to beat, I would have thought. But if not, I got really high hopes for Evaporate this preparation. He trialed well the other day.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this race. Private Eye 260, General Salute 420, Robusto, $7. God bless him for winning last time. And Brudenell, $8. Brudenell for me is overs at $8. Only just got nosed out by In Flight last time. Soft 7 track. Yeah, sure, heavy is some issue, but he's the fittest horse in this race. He's 4th up. All his form is rock solid. And he just looks overs. I would mark him closer to $5, $5.50. Robusto is the one you have to take on. Open $4.60 out to $7. The reason for that is weird preparation. 1,500 all the way back to 12. He hasn't raced at 12 in a long time. Yeah, okay, a 1,200-meter heavy track race might seem a little bit further. You might need those staying capabilities a bit more, but happy to take him on. So I'll back Brudenell, and I'm having a good crack at Private Eye if he runs here. If Private Eye doesn't run here, I'll back General Salute and Brudenell. Private Eye has actually got some good heavy track form. He's got 2 placings on heavy 10 ground at Group 1 level. I know he was still well beaten in an all-aged by Magic Time, and he also ran 3rd on a heavy track in a Canterbury Stakes behind Forbidden Love going back some time. But
what a horse she was on a wet track.
Yeah. His recent trial was super behind Bonita Queen, who's just a trial star. And obviously, he ran 3rd in a Stradbroke. I think he carried top weight, 57 kilos. So I think there's still some life in the old boy, and this is the easiest race he's contested.
The old boy's got to remember how to win.
Yeah. So that's how I'm playing the race. General Salute will be hard to beat if Private Eye comes out.
The only horse that was sort of note for me at Randwick is in the 4th, Amrikia.
Yeah.
She's a nice mare. Horses don't do what she did last start if they're not very, very talented.
Watling was saying that they sometimes Snowdens can be a little bit skeptical whether they run on these heavy tracks with these types of horses. So
Trust the Fox usually handle it. But yeah, you don't need to be diving in on a heavy track, but she's just a horse to watch.
Yep.
If she runs and they're confident, well, then you could have something on. But yeah, she's just more so a horse for the future. I think she's black type.
The only other race we'll just quickly mention is over in Adelaide. It's the Group 3 Behemoth Stakes, 1,200 metres. This Sakala has been smashed, unbeaten, $4 straight into $3. Is it me?
Rain?
It's a soft six at the moment. There might be a little bit of rain. Is it me? He's probably not a 1,200 metre horse, but he just went through the roof last time, $4.60. And after opening favourite, recommendation is he out the door to $5 and Lingani, $6. And then we've got the one-time Oakley Plate winner, Cumin, who actually won last start.
The last time we saw it, he's been off the scene for a while.
Yeah, I think he had an injury, so he's returning. Is he returning, or maybe he won
three trial wins?
Yeah, he is returning. Sorry, he is returning.
Three trial wins, is that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. How could you mark recommendation favorite off of what it's been doing this preparation?
Cast. Absolutely cast.
Yeah, I know, but still. Yeah, I mean, the favourite looks like the right favourite looking in the numbers.
Yeah.
Is it me? Is it bomb fresh?
I'd be keen to back Is It Me, but it's just 1,200. Might be a bit on the sharp side, but.
Yeah. We were backing in a Wong Room. This is no Wong Room.
No, it's a Group 3, but it's a very average race.
Yeah, Wong Room's a stronger race than this.
Well, I think that's pretty much it. That Wyndham the Lion won last time, Nico. It's running at Belmont in a listed race.
Yeah, but I reckon you could back Storm Chaser. I had a brief look at that race. He's pretty honest horse, Storm Chaser.
Yep, $5.
Wyndham the Lion's not the most trustworthy commodity. Like, he won last time, but
he's no superstar.
No, he's not. And he got a Pike 12 out of 10, and there were some average steers in that race. Probably couldn't go wrong backing Storm Chaser each way, but. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Terry thinks tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'll be tuning in because that's a race that I might get involved in. Storm Chaser, $5.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up the tipping there. Let's do a quick podcast multi.
I'm Escher.
All right, locked in, $2.15.
I'll have Mornington Glory.
$2.15 times $3.60 is the top price for MG.
What a luxury that is.
Let me just have a quick look and see what else is available. I've got to go Sayadati Sadati, don't I? $3. That would be my next best bet, I think. Yeah, I can't go Randwick. It's raining too much. So I'm going to go Sayadati Sadati. So podcast multi comes out to be around $23. Yeah, anyone got a lay or a each way?
Not really.
Oh, yeah, I'm really keen on those two at odds. Moon and Berkeley Back Square. And Berkeley and Square, back. Yeah.
Oh, Reset the Jazz, best favourite last time. So
$19. And my couple, obviously, LOU in the last and Apache Song. And I think Brudinelli's over the odds in the feature there at Randwick. But hopefully they run. All right, let's open up some questions. We start with the Twitter sphere.
God.
Okay. Prepare yourself, boys.
There'll be no hate for me because I've just been just tipping winners deluxe.
Oh, shut up, mate.
Stevie M, how are you thinking the Valley will play Saturday? Looks like a tricky card on paper. Yeah, we've alluded to that. We think on pace, and you probably don't want to be making these wide circling runs. Jack Jenkins. Really interested to hear the boys' opinion on two runners' chances, that being Mornington Glory Race 4 and Oyster Lane Race 6. FYI, best of the weekend, Berezka in Race 3, Sydney.
Thanks for tuning in far, Jack.
No, this is different, Jack Jenkins.
You didn't get the gag, bro. It's all
right. Sorry, mate. Well, it could have been from our man.
Our man does listen.
Well, Mornington Glory, we're keen. Oyster Lane, what was your thoughts, Bot? You didn't really mention it.
I don't think it'll be suited around the valley.
Right.
Bot's got his blinkers on.
I've got blinkers on. Esher's going to win. Esher's a group one filly.
The next big thing.
Oh, here we go. Now she can't win because Bott's labelled her a Group 1 filly. The last four fillies that have been labelled Group 1 fillies, I don't think they've won.
Like who?
Stretton Angel. Who was that other squib? That
Stretton Angel. That was when it was a two-year-old off Adelaide form. I was right. Red second in the Newmarket.
Oh, I'm blank, Ben. You know the ones I'm talking about. There's been
Observer.
Two. Yeah, Observer.
he's still a Group 1 horse.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say he's still running.
He might be a Group 1 horse.
He
against,
probably is.
He might be a Group 1 horse in your backyard against Dash, but that'll be about it.
Average racing nuff. How far Autumn Glow after her trial? Baby Winks.
Oh, okay. Settle down.
That's a little bit far. Ooh, but
aren't they going to take her sprinting?
No, they're going to resume sprinting. She's going to run the Show County, 1,200 metres on Winks Stakes Day. And then surely Chris takes her to an Epsom. She'll get in with 50 kilos.
Well, I saw Trav say she might go sprinting, and Trav's pretty shrewd with that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I've had a quick convo with Trav in, just in his sort of Patreon group chat, and they're going to go to the Show County, and Chris Waller will probably, you know, use that as her, what's the
decision
word?
Maker.
What's the word? Audition. That's the word I'm looking for.
Bridging run.
Audition. Audition for an Everest. But her to an Epsom.
They won't go to an Everest.
She could be a weighted certainty in the Epsom. Roxas FC. Why is Bott racing at the Dish Lickers Friday night? Race 4, number 4. Maybe someone check that.
Let me have a look.
Race 4, number 4. I'm guessing Victorian meeting. Race 4, number 4 on the dogs. It must be something to resemble your name.
Where?
I don't know. It just says Friday night.
Oh, well, there's like a million dogs races.
Come on, deal. There's like a million of them. Out here. While you're looking, I'll go to the next question. Odds on Nico breathing heavily into the microphone, question mark. Betting is subject to the conditions that his microphone is working and he rocks up on time.
Who said that?
Same guy.
Who's? Oh, yeah.
Roxas FC.
Race 4, number 4 at Geelong Greyhounds is called Sarsaparilla Kid.
Sarsaparilla Kid.
Back in form, but this is hard. I prefer to watch sports bet selection.
Price?
MD at the moment, mid-div.
MD. You guys didn't get my MD joke last
week. Yeah, no, I did. This wasn't that good, mate.
It was very good. Lots of people laughed. Whoa.
What was that?
This was a gif that was left on our question box from Chris, the caster. Which horses have made you feel like this after backing it? Chris is obviously into some anime.
What?
We don't judge here. Everyone's got their niche sort of things. Which horses have made you feel like this after backing it? Documentary last week.
Oh, God.
Lose some, win more, baby.
Yep. Roxas FC. Is it time for the big colutes to hang up the boots and replace Simon Goodwin at the Mighty Demons? If Ben's form in the 2016 grand final was anything to go off, he could teach the D's a thing or two.
Halfback merchant.
Yeah. I used to be a big Sonoma forward, you know that? Now I forgot what the goals look like.
Just...
yeah. Hey, lads. Thoughts on O'Kill? Oh, to answer that question, no. I don't think I'll be coaching anytime soon. Hey, lads. Thoughts on O'Kill this week? Looks very well placed. And in WA, if Sodanel doesn't get bad luck this week, should go very close. Maybe Bott backed it last time, which is why it went down. Strays. And also love the trial of Sunlit Fresco. Two for you guys to have a look at.
Which horse?
I don't know. There's a horse in WA that lost, and now our listeners are blaming you.
Me? Lost for WA? Saying,
well, you must have backed it because it got beat. That's what it's saying. Just makes sense.
I think the listener's getting confused because Bott was raving about that two-year-old the other week that
that one
King of Light is a gun.
Yeah, I think so. Now that you've had one bit of advice or suggested bet in WA, now you're a WA expert.
Yeah, O'Kill. So, look, can win. I don't really like
back buried, Morning Glory, moral.
Geroid Martin, the mastermind.
Hello.
of producing at the Valley.
Here we go.
Our cameraman slash producer. Can we expect similar scenes to the above, which is my photo of Hugh Bowman saluting to the crowd after Winx's fourth Cox plate. Can we expect similar scenes to that when Mornington Glory extends his perfect track and distance record on Saturday?
We can hope.
We love Mornington Glory here at the Valley. Matthew Rose, why did field of play? This is actually a good question from the mug. Mug's punting. Not mug punting, mug punter. This is the mug.
Mug punter.
He obviously tunes in.
The mug. What a man.
Yeah, hopefully his guts aren't too bad after consuming more and more Coke and mayonnaise. The amount of mayonnaise that this guy has, it's just straight egg and oil.
What a man.
Why did field of play leave the Bussardons and go to Amy and Ashiagi? And how will the Valley play? Got told it was sold to Hong Kong.
What? Did he just answer his own question?
Oh, no.
So, no. It got sold to Hong Kong and then it came back. Or it was going to go to Hong Kong and now it's
maybe it failed the vet test or something.
I thought it had Hong Kong interest in the ownership to begin with the they were planning on taking it to race in Hong Kong.
They were.
But then, something went awry.
So, yeah, someone's commented that it failed the vet, so I'm assuming that's what it was. So, yeah, it's definitely not with Bussardon now, and he's right. It's with Amy and Ashiagi. So he was a talented two-year-old. Hopefully he can make the grade as a
that's
three-year-old.
That's exciting for them.
Yeah. Nick McGall's a fan page. If a jockey gets disqualified for being too heavy, does the horse get to fat shame them publicly? Is that against the racing code of conduct? It's pretty good going on. Jockeys wanting to apply for, kilo, half a kilo. Boom punting. First time caller, long time baller. What's your favorite horse running in Australia at the moment? By the way, Pies by 10 to 19. Well, he's going to get that wrong because the Pies are getting absolutely smacked. Favorite horse.
The first one
Australia
he's ever got wrong.
70 points down.
I can't believe it.
Absolute strip.
Crumbling.
Took him in a couple Maltese cast.
Yeah, not ideal.
They might miss the top four if they lose next 2 weeks.
Doesn't matter. Based off tonight's performance, they shouldn't be there.
I would love Collingwood to finish fifth and get knocked out first.
Well, I would just love for them. I hope this is the start, the beginning of the end.
Yep.
You can't just keep topping up and getting away.
Coming from bitter Essendon to Carlton.
Fucking oath.
Absolutely.
Carlton are done. Collingwood are
I'm
done.
I'm one of them. I'm not
Essendon, Essendon have been done for the last 26 years of my life.
I put out a tweet. Wait, are Pies on? Are they on 16 flags or 17?
We're all on 16.
I don't know.
Oh, that's good then. We don't want them to go to 17. I put out a tweet saying which bubble made the bigger popping noise when it burst, Collingwood 2025 or Enthar in 2022.
Oh, what happened to her? She's...
Mate, she was a Caulfield track record holder over 1,000 metres and then ran last in a field of 4, then ran last in a field of 12 and retired. She looked like the next coming.
Yeah, she looked like Black Caviar for a second.
Nathan, back to that day she pissed in too.
Yeah. She did. She did look like Black Caviar.
Dippy, Nathan, if Private Eye wins, is he still a genuine big player in the Group 1 Weight for Age sprinting ranks and an Everest slot chance? Or would you rather see him tackle mile Group 1 races one last time before he hangs them up?
Could win a Sydney Stakes.
Yeah, I hope they aim down a little bit and just win some races again.
Well, considering they're all going to get absolutely belted by Kai Ying Rising.
Kai Ying King. Have you seen how good Jimmy Starr trialled today?
I did see that. No. Have you seen the silks that Private Harry is wearing? They're like Clash silks. Yeah, they're Yulong silks with the Corinda Bloodstock star.
Looks good.
Yeah, they'll look unreal when they're 6 lengths behind Kane.
All right, a couple of Instagram questions, then we're done. There's only 5 here. Let's speed through them. Jack Elias, can Vane Champagne go back-to-back?
No.
No, that's a bot question. Jackson Kirkwood, race 4 Mini Valley, 3 likely leaders. How do you see the race playing out? Is that the 1,000-meter race?
Yep, that's Morning Glory race.
I think Midwest will try and get across.
Sorry, race 4 is,
yeah, it is
not. Oh, no, I'm looking
at the
wrong
race.
Sorry.
I think Midwest, his only chance of winning is if he can lead. So he'll try and fire across. I think that gives Luke Cartwright the perfect opportunity to just take a hold and hopefully land 1-1 or outside lead, and from there I think it'd be hard to beat O'Kill. The map could be a little bit awkward from one. Stu Frenchie, is Nico the most informed analyst and tipster in Australia right now? How much have you paid Stu to say this?
No, nothing. Just brilliance admires brilliance. Pretty simple sort of stuff.
You just called Stu
he's
brilliant.
He's in form, actually. Nico's there for a moment. Stu's flying.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm flying. I'm always flying.
Go on.
It's actually gets a bit boring when you win because these Twitter fucking gimps don't come for me.
Stu, only I could back a horse at $10, win $500, and lose for F's sake.
That's but why. Thanks he, that's for the why. Tips, Nicholas. That's why he's giving me the glow up because of Berkeley Square.
Nah, you mean
too darn discreet.
Too darn discreet.
Nah, too darn discreet. Yeah.
Same colours.
This week it'll be the same silks.
Yeah. Well, Stu, I've got some advice for you.
She shouldn't have been, like, I know it's easy now, but, like, she's one of the best horses in that race. She should not have been the price she was. Like, she's a really good horse.
Open your Bet365 app, and if you back a horse after 8 a.m. on race day and the price is longer at the time it wins, you'll be paid out at the bigger odds. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Liv must have nightmares of hearing that.
Just practicing in the mirror.
Oh, we're back from a commercial. Here we go, guys. Last question from Damon Winley. Riot to bring back Racing Supercoach. Thoughts? Is that the company who does Supercoach, obviously? Well, I loved Racing Supercoach. It's good fun.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it was a thing for a couple of years.
When?
Like 5 years ago.
You would have been too young, bruv.
Before my time. Not really, but...
Yeah, it was good fun.
It was good fun.
Yeah, I'd be all for them bringing it back, but don't know if they will. All right, 50 minutes. Let's go.
Huge.
Well done.
Let's wrap it up.
I'll be live on location next week.
Nico will be at the footy.
No, that's the week after. I'm interstate next week.
Oh, you're interstate next week. Yeah, the week after, you're going to Carlton Collingwood. Carlton Essendon, which won't even be shown on Channel 7. So you're going to have to
tell us what's happening. Couldn't tell you. I've never watched a game on Channel 7 in my life.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Fox footy.
Fox footy operator.
Yeah. Nicholas, William.
Pleasure for our annual meeting. Yeah.
Thanks, bud. 2 hours later, you got the joke. All right, let's wrap it up there. See you guys next week. Group 2, PB Lawrence?
Yes.
I think it's a group 2.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Yeah. 1,400 meters Caulfield. I think it's the Regal Roller and the Quizette Stakes as well. So really looking forward to that. Cheers, guys.